3 years ago. And that was a lovely moment for me, and I guess you all know that. Symbolically, I did give myself to the Lord. And I so appreciate Brother Leo ever since he gave that discourse. I've always listened to his tapes wherever I could get them. And the brother is a fine brother. So he's going to give us a discourse today, which is called God is Light. But before that, brethren, we're going to have an open song that he requested, 358, and then we'll have Brother Johnny give a prayer over his discourse. That would be 358.
All right.
Now we'll have Brother Johnny Goby from, is it California, Johnny?
Alberta, Kansas.
Alberta, Kansas. Give us a prayer over Leo's false discourse.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, again we come to Thee asking Your guidance and Your help to be with us throughout the rest of this wonderful day that You have prepared for us. Help our dear brother Leo Post in his lesson that he is about to give us from Your Word, the Bible. Be with us and help us to take in all that Your Word gives to us. We ask all these things through Your precious Son, our Redeemer, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. Now, brethren, we'll have our discourse by Brother Leo Post and Brother Leo Post.
Thank you. This water is...
Yeah.
Well, my dear brethren, I want to thank Brother Matt Williams for his kind words. Yes, I remember that baptismal service. What a great privilege it is, you know, to have the privilege of giving a service like that for brethren who have devoted their lives to the Lord. I want to thank Brother Goby for his prayer. Appreciate that we look to the Heavenly Father for all the help we can get in presenting any message. In fact, before I start, I want to bring the love of our New York brethren to you and of the Dawn family. They all voted to do this. And we're very happy to bring that vote of love to you. Before I gave the title of my talk to Brother Williams, he was saying, I want to talk to you about your responsibility. That's the responsibility here of talking this morning. And I like that particular phrasing, because it is a responsibility. I just love to talk about my Heavenly Father. But it is a responsibility to try to convey to your minds what I have been able to garner from the Holy Scriptures and from my experiences of knowing our wonderful Heavenly Father. I don't see how anybody, I can't do justice to His holy name. But we're going to try. It was about 2 years ago that there was an article that appeared in the National Geographic magazine on the subject of light. On its front cover it says, "The Dazzling Enigma of Light." The actual article was "The Power of Light." And 29 pages were devoted to analyzing this subject. And the author recognized that he had limitations of technical ability to understand everything that there is to know about light. And also, being a reporter, he wanted it to be a newsworthy story. Well, he said, when it comes to that, all you have to do is pick the word photon, which is the smallest particle of light, and go to the internet and look under that word, and you will see how much information is floating around that people are trying to garner concerning the subject of light. Well, in any case, I just want to mention some of the things that he said in order to have us all have a greater appreciation of this wonderful form of energy, because that's what it is, wonderful form of energy. And among the things that he said, that light is inscrutable, which it is. No matter how much we try to understand or study it, physicists try to understand it, it still turns out to be awesome and mysterious. That's a good phraseology. And in talking about it, he says that physicists have tried to divide it. He says, but light can't be divided. It's just impossible. And he also mentioned how pervasive it is. When light comes in, it spreads out all over, everywhere. And of course, how, what a splendor there is in light. He says we all can't get along without light. We can't live without light. It's just like air. We have to have air in order to live. But yet we don't get very much thought to that, because it's just like a fish trying to ponder the notion of water, he says. Well, this is true, that light is something that has been given to us by God, just as air has been given to us by God, so that we can live. And we can't live without either one of them. And as he continued to talk about this subject, he says that although we take it for granted, it's there, it's something that's been given to us by God, yet the only time we probably are aware of it is when we see some wonderful manifestation of it, like a rainbow in the sky, or a beautiful sunset, or if we see the light coming through a stained glass window of a church, or the dappled light in the forest, or the light upon at twilight upon the sea and the waves of the ocean. These are things that sometimes attract us to seeing the splendor of light. But otherwise, we go along and just take it for granted. But he says that people have asked the question, what is light? And in spite of the efforts being made to understand it and to divide it and to try to break it down into its components, its smallest parts, he says, you can't do that with light. And it continues to be, as he said, awesome and mysterious. He went back into history to see what our forefathers had to say about light. And the first one to come up with any kind of theory at all as to what light might be was Sir Isaac Newton in the 17th century. And he said that light was corpuscular, made of small invisible particles that would emanate from a shining body. And he said that he was such a giant in the scientific world that no other scientist ever tried to dispute his theory. Not until the 19th century. And at that time, there were there was work done by a man named Maxwell, a Scotsman, and he was working with electricity and magnetism. And he found that electricity propagates through space at the same speed as light. Is that a coincidence? Of course not. It's by design of our Heavenly Father. And he says, therefore, light is an electromagnetic wave. Now we've got the wave theory coming in. And as this man wrote, he says, the scientists say about light that it's corpuscular and a wave. He says, it's both. And that's true, it is both. It isn't one or the other. That's the fascinating thing about light. You just cannot, it's nothing like anything else that we know of, that the Lord has created in the form of energy. And it was later on that some of the scientific geniuses of our era, people that dealt in the subject of quantum mechanics, you know, subjects that are sometimes way over our head, over my head, like Max Planck and Albert Einstein, and then there was Albert Michelson and Edward Morley. These were all giants in the field of quantum mechanics, and they confirmed that light is both corpuscular and also a wave. It's both. And what they found is that when light passes through material, which is composed of electrons, small electrons, that have charges to them, that it then becomes a photon. From a wave that becomes corpuscular, becomes a particle. That's an interesting phenomenon. Of course, Michelson is the man who measured the speed of light. And that's an, as this man said, an imponderable number. 186,000 miles per second is the speed of light. Now we're accustomed to talking about driving a car in miles per hour. And when we go 60 miles per hour, we're going fast. Very fast. Too fast. Well, this translates, this 186,000 miles per second translates into something like 367 million miles per hour. Now, that's fast. That's very, very fast. And so we find that from the scientific analysis that light has no volume. They can take light and crowd it into a space, and the smallest particle, like the photon, don't have a charge to them, so that they repel each other like electrons do in matter. And that's why it's been possible for a man like Charles Townley and his brother-in-law that has shared work with him of developing a laser. What is a laser? Well, it's light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. This is an acronym, L-A-S-E-R, light amplified. Amplification by stimulated emission radiation. And we're all familiar with the term laser. I just had cataracts removed by lasers. And that's one of the applications of laser. But there's no really end to what is possible with this way of amplifying light. What that means is that light, instead of spreading out in all directions as it wants to do whenever it enters into a dark room, it's been made to concentrate into a narrow beam with a lot of power to it. Power that's, well, scientific people talk about the future lasers being used to blast a hostile missile out of the sky. It's used in telephone technology. It's used in the laser that the doctors use now in surgery and so forth. But it's just the beginning of knowing about this wonderful phenomena, this form of energy, and what it will lead to eventually is just beyond our imagination. Now, all of this I just went through is because I want to impress upon your mind why the Bible uses light as an illustration of our wonderful Heavenly Father. It was the Apostle John who said in 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Isn't that wonderful? So everything that has to do with righteousness and good has been illustrated by light. Whereas everything that is unrighteous and evil and death itself is illustrated by darkness. It was the Apostle James who said in James 1:17 that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. Isn't that a nice expression? The Father of lights. That's what he is. He is the Father of light. And every good gift comes from him. That's why I enjoyed Brother Homer's talk last night when he talked about our Heavenly Father and gave us some idea of his mercy, the wideness of God's mercy, as we sang in the hymn and then as he continued in his talk. You know, there's no way that we can really define the Father successfully. But when we think of Father of Light, I think what may come to our minds immediately are the creative epochs and the work that he did in preparing the earth for habitation. And so when we turn to the first chapter of Genesis, we read how in the beginning the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So God then began his work of preparing the earth for habitation, for bringing forth living beings on this earth, bringing forth life upon this earth. And as we progress in seeing how it's phrased in Genesis, we see that after explaining that the earth was without form and void, it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And each one of these creative epochs starts in darkness and then progresses to where there's light. It's symbolic of how we start with a task that which is undone. And as we come to God's purpose and what he wants accomplished at the end of that particular epoch, there's light. Now, some brethren have discussed this subject of what kind of light was it that came when God said, let there be light. Some say it was the sun, because the sun is our source of light. You know, the God has so arranged it in the planetary system that we live in, the sun is the source of all of our light. But I don't think that's what is involved here. You know, in a photodrama, Pastor Russell talked about that particular light. And he said it must have been something like the Aurora Borealis, which we know as the northern lights up in the Arctic and the also down in the southern Borealis in the Antarctic. But there were every time in the seasons come and you have winter in the north, there's no light up there. And very little sunlight reaches that area. And yet there is this phenomenon of the northern lights that occurs in certain times of the year. And it's very much now that the scientists have done this work of knowing that when there is some kind of light that will pass through material that has electrons, becomes a photon, and that there is electromagnetic light that comes to pass. And so when Pastor Russell suggested this, you know, without having any of the scientific background, he was right. It seems that as God started to prepare the earth for habitation, the first thing he had to do was to assemble the necessary materials that will be there that forms the earth in the way it should be formed. And in bringing forth all these different materials, there was an electromagnetic type of light that occurred at the end of each day of his work of accomplishment. But it's interesting to note how, you know, since God is light and he is the father of lights, how light has become an important part of the accomplishment of every one of these epochs where God is preparing the earth for habitation. So at the conclusion, when man has been formed in God's own image, he's standing in a perfect environment. Wonderful environment. But before we go further, let's go back before God started to prepare the earth for habitation. And we know that the first being that he created was the Logos, our Lord Jesus in his pre-human existence. And that is brought out so well by the Apostle John in the first, his gospel, the first chapter. And of course the King James version of that says that, calls him the Word of God, and we like to use the Greek word instead and say it's the Logos, because that's what it was. This was the name given to Jesus in his pre-human existence because he was a spokesman for God. He was the first of the created beings that the Lord made. That's why he is called the firstborn of his creation. And we notice how that is used so well in the third chapter of Revelation, and in the 14th verse, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the witness and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That was our Lord Jesus, the first, the beginning of the creation of God. That's also found in Colossians, in the first chapter of Colossians. We read about how Jesus is in the express image of God, and his the firstborn of his creation. Let's find them back. place now. Colossians 1, 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Let's go back to the 15th verse. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And of course, as the 17th verse says, he's the one that was used to assist the Father in the bringing forth all things that we know of upon the earth. The firstborn of all creation. And since God is light, we would expect that this wonderful being that was his firstborn would also be characterized by light. Now, we think that the light from the sun is a wonderful thing, and it is, no doubt about it. But the light that emanates from the Heavenly Father is so much more wonderful. And the Apostle Paul tries to give us some idea of how wonderful it is when in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and the 16th verse, he describes God as the only one who hath immortality. You know, before Jesus was given immortality, God was the only one who had immortality. There was no other immortal being. And when he tells us about God in this way, he says, who only have immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And we can join with the Apostle Paul in saying the same thing. To him be honor and power everlasting. Amen. What a wonderful being is our Heavenly Father, the great supreme creator of the universe. We just have no concept that can justify, no matter how hard we try to think and imagine what he is like, we can never really understand. Just like light is awesome and mysterious, so God is awesome and mysterious. You may remember how it was when Moses came to God and he wanted to see his glory. And God says, no man can see me and live. That's true. So he put Moses in a cleft of a rock. And he says, you can't see my face. But as I pass by, you can see only as I pass by the rear. And that's all Moses saw. But we had this wonderful exclamation. Proclamation that was made at that time, Jehovah, Jehovah, God, the Almighty, and how he does not, he demands some penalty for sins that are committed up to a third and fourth generation. But that he has mercy that extends for thousands, it says in the King James Version. But the Rotherham translation says for thousands of generations. And that should be the comparison. As the punishment is for 3 to 4 generations for sins committed, so his mercy is for 1,000 generations in the things that he has planned for all his creatures. Because he is a most wonderful God. And this proclamation was made, Moses saw, and Jesus, as God says, you can't, when he asked to see his glory, he says, I'll have all my goodness pass before you. So that equates God's glory to his goodness. And so when Moses was seeing was God's goodness. And it's there, that proclamation of showing how the punishments are for the 3 or 4 generations and his mercy extends to 1,000 generations. And so as we go back to John, the first chapter, where it tells about how in the beginning was the Word, first creation of God. And in the dialogue says that the Logos was a God, a mighty one, but he was with the God, the most mighty one, the Father of lights. And it says that everything that was made then was made by the Logos, because he assisted the Father in all the works of creation. And he himself then is characterized by a light. And it starts off that way right here in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And it says, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And it continues, it says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Then in that first chapter of John, it tells about how a man was sent forth. It was John the Baptist to make proclaim the way of the Lord. And he says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, that is, John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then it mentions how he was in the world and the world didn't appreciate him. And it continues to tell us how the Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of one begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a wonderful description, isn't that, of our Lord Jesus? Full of grace and truth, which he was. Later on, the Apostle John, in the 8th chapter, the 12th verse, writes of our Lord Jesus that he was the light of the world. And this is what Jesus said of himself. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. For he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but in him that shall have the light of life. Anyone that becomes a follower of our Lord gets the light of life. Remember that. That's the symbol of God. You know, God is light. He is life. And he is the one who's given us life. And he's the one, therefore, that can characterize all of his blessings as being that of light. There's so much that we can say on this subject. Now, there's a conversation that took place between Jesus and the people that's recorded in the 12th chapter of John, where they were saying, he was telling them that he had to be lifted up. And he was talking about his crucifixion. And they said, the Messiah is not supposed to be lifted up. You're not supposed to die. And Jesus then admonished them and said to them, he said, and starting with the 30th verse, because as Jesus spoke to the people, some Greeks wanted to talk to him, and he was speaking to them. He said that now, and this is the 27th verse, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And then there came this voice from heaven that says, I will glorify. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Yeah, God will do this. He will glorify. He did it at the time when he gave his son as our Redeemer. And by doing that, we have become children of light. And that's how the Apostle Paul describes us in the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. That you're children of light and you're children of the morning. You don't belong to the darkness. You have this great blessing of being a part of the light, of having God's plan in your mind so clearly, and the blessings that he plans for all the world of mankind. This is the light that we can give to others as we witness to them. And in so doing, we're imitating our Heavenly Father, who is light, who gives light that leads to life. Oh, there's not enough that we can say about it. I'm thinking of the wonderful throne scene that's given to us in the fourth chapter of Revelation that tells about God and his glory and what a wonderful being he is, and how the 24 elders and those characteristics that describe God, his wisdom, his justice, his power, and his love are all there. You know, one of the things that Sir Isaac Newton found, he says that light, white light as we know it, really is composed of different colors. He used a prism to break it down into what we call the rainbow today, from the ultraviolet light to the infrared light. And it reminds me of how, you know, light being so pervasive shows how God is present everywhere. We talk about his omnipresence. We talk about his omnipotence, his power, his power, his omniscience, the wisdom that's behind light. And then we have love. God is love. And as all of these different fruits of the Spirit are bound together by love, as the Apostle Paul says, put on love to bind them all when he gives us the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians and also in Philippians. So also, God is love, composing all of the fruits of the Spirit, all of the wonderful graces, all the wonderful virtues that are there, can all be embraced in the one word, love, and that's God. God is love, as Apostle John said. God is light. May we appreciate this light more and more, as the Apostle Peter says. Let us show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God, may God add his blessing.
Thanks a lot, Reverend Leo Post, for that fine dissertation of light. And, you know, it left me wondering a lot about things that you think you understand. You really have no really inner, in-depth understanding of such things as, and these gentlemen that go out and, you know, and work so hard and with the intellect concerning light and put all those things for us in the book, and I'm sure that they have an idea of what they think that they're dealing with in this little human mundane element that we find ourselves. But brother, it's way beyond us. I can see that we would need to the Spirit of our Lord surely with us, we can understand a lot. You know, we have a truth, and we love the truth. I hope we all do. And Brother Leo, we thank you for those fine words. And now we're going to end with a song. Brother Leo, is 2238. 2238. Have a closing prayer, but we'll close.
Our most kind and loving and gracious Father in heaven, indeed, holy, holy, holy is thy glorious name. And as all of thy creatures in heaven bowed before thee, as pictured in the fourth chapter of Revelation, so also we want to do the same.
We thank thee, Father, for thy wonderful plan, for the gift of thy Son, for all thy goodness and mercy unto us. We thank thee, and we give thee praise always in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brethren, we'll have a short 30-minute intermission, and then we'll be right back here again. Thank you.
There are studies next time.
Oh, brethren, forgive me, we'll be doing our study, so we'll be getting ready for our study. We'll get those partitions divided. Oh, man. Oh.